Welcome back, everyone, to another podcast today. And thank you very much for downloading and giving us the time to share another great story from Dietz from the Anvil of Doom Miniatures YouTube channel. So as you can understand, the title of his channel grabbed my interest straight away because the Anvil of Doom is one of the iconic models from 4th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battle and proudly sits in my display case painted as well. So I was very keen to see what Dietz was doing on his channel, and he has some really wonderfully presented, I think, painting videos, and he does it in a very unique style, and I think it's been quite successful for him. He's only been in doing this for about a year, which is really surprising to me. So I'm really happy for him that it's been so successful that he's built quite a big following on his channel, and he has a lot of correspondence with his fans and that kind of thing that sent him models or other projects for him to work on and collaborations. So well done to him. It's really nice to see that someone who's genuinely so nice and very genuine about the hobby is doing so well in this very niche hobby of ours. So that's the interview today. So I hope you enjoy that. And as we're nearing a 4-year anniversary for the Crown and Command podcast, which is amazing, that's 4 years of interviews, which is still mind-boggling that people still want to come on and talk with me and share their stories with you, which is really lovely. I hope to bring back some old voices like Justin Wu, a good friend of mine here in Japan, that we did the very first episode together. I think episode one was about 5th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battle. And I think it was at a time when I just first introduced 5th edition to Justin. He'd never played it before. So, yeah, if you can hark back all the way back then. So to a time, I don't think the podcast quality was that bad because I think we were recording it via Zoom or something back then. This was in 2020 on the 5th of May. So we're getting very close to that time again where it's the anniversary. So I hope to get Justin back on again for us to do a 4th year anniversary special. And also my very first interviewee, which was Dave Lister, all the way from Hamilton in Canada, talking about his Wood Elf army. And I hope to get Dave back on because I know he's a massive enthusiast of the 90s Games Workshop games. He set up our Discord and has been actively, you know, moderating that and being part of the community. And I really want to get him back on to talk about 90s Games Workshop games. It's kind of our passion, as you know, as part of the Crown and Command. So it'd be nice to get him back on to talk in reflection over the last 4 years and what he's been up to, and talk about the games that we love. So that'd be really, really nice. A lot of things have been happening in the background. Obviously, the Tears of Aisha campaign, it's been rebooted and kicked off again on YouTube, and I'm happy that a lot of people have liked it and responded in a very positive way to the new format we're doing on the videos, which is good because it's a lot of time in making those videos. So I hope that people are enjoying those, every one of you. And to hear that you're enjoying it is giving me more motivation to do some more stuff. But obviously time and work balance is an issue. So obviously I've got to take those into consideration and when we can record and that kind of thing. So we're going to continue the Tears of Isha campaign with scenario 2 and 3 filmed on Monday, this coming Monday. I think that's the 6th of May, and then I'll edit those and release those at some time during May so we can sort of correlate those battles all together in one sequence rather than sort of being spread out over several months. I think we should just sort of nail that on the head and get that underway. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the conclusive battle at the end will be at some point, I'd say in June, depending if I have enough models It's a 3,000-point battle. I don't know if I've got enough high elves. I need to work out my list for that and see where we're up to that. But in terms of hobby, I've been enjoying some bit of painting on Sunday, and I've started working on my evil son's Row Trader, Kev Adams' character model. It's like a knob guy, which I'm really enjoying painting that. I've taken out my Wyvern and the Azag the Slaughterer, which has been customized by Kev Adams himself, the Goblin Master, and retouching that up because I'm playing a game with Max in Chiba in Japan this coming Saturday. So I'm mustering my Orc and Goblins as voted by my patrons on Patreon to the army that I'll bring to him to play Warhammer Renaissance in a 1500 point sort of a training game, as it's his first time to bring his models to the table. He's taking a Beastman army, and I'll record that and I'll put a short video on Patreon for that, so my patrons can enjoy the battle unfold there. But yeah, lots of things, lots of great models. Commissions have come in from people, which is fantastic. I wholeheartedly thank them for that. That's immensely encouraging for me. It keeps me, keeps me in a job and keeps me very busy. I've got a beautiful Chaos Dwarf army here. I've got a beautiful old, like a fourth edition, fifth edition Dwarf army sitting here. I've got some wonderful models from Warhammer Quest module, Catacombs of Terror, I think. All the undead models. I was looking at that today. So I've got wonderful figurines sitting here to be painted. I've got some stuff in the mail today from Marcus from Dice Hammer, our previous guests on the podcast. We're doing a painting exchange. He sent me some beautiful orc models all the way back from Row Trader, Kev Adams second edition figures and that kind of thing. So I am really inundated with beautiful stuff at the moment sitting on my table right now, and truly blessed. So I think I owe you guys a studio update sometime, hopefully towards the end of this week, if not early May, presenting a lot of those figures, a lot of those armies, and a lot of the miniatures that I have got here. So you get a sneak peek as to what I'm working on and what's coming up in terms of commissions and what you can look forward to seeing in future battle reports, perhaps. A lot of it's fantasy focused, so the Warhammer Fantasy fans out there will be very happy to hear that. But just loads and loads and loads of ideas that I really want to get out there, lots of projects that I'm working on. It's just getting the time. So thank you again to my patrons who support me each month, who allow me to basically buying me the time to do a lot of stuff in the background, making the videos, doing audio stuff for them, producing this podcast, giving me the time to do that. So thank you so much for that, guys. I really appreciate it. And thank you to the listeners out there who continue to enjoy the interviews that we bring each week, or hopefully each week. I'm trying to keep it on a weekly basis to keep you guys entertained. So without further ado, here's Dietz from Anvil of Doom Miniatures with his story, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, guys, thank you.
Looking up my history, because for me, obviously I've come to the hobby in the last couple of years, really.
Right.
But I was, when I was younger, I suppose when I was like 8, 9, 10, and 11, that's when I was like really, that's when I was kind of like, it was kind of like the visuals of it kind of got me hooked into it. And I'm guessing that was around like fifth edition, because like I've told the story a few times, but my mate at the road, he had a bunch of lizard men, like a bunch of old fifth edition of monoposed lizard men. And that's how it kind of got me involved in it. And I was kind of like, oh wow, this is amazing. And his mate had Empire. I don't remember Carl, he had Carl Franz and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think it hooked me. And I remember mum and dad would buy me White Dwarf magazines and all those types of little bits and pieces here and there. So, and it was in the last few years, that's when I kind of came back to the hobby. I was like, okay, like after like around end of COVID, I was like, oh, I need something to do, and then I kind of came back into it. And obviously, Warhammer Fantasy didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It was like very. I walked into the hobby shop and it was Age of Sigmar, and I'm like, what's going on here? Where's all the good stuff? Where's all the where, you know, like where are my high elves? You know, where is all that type of stuff? And I was a bit like lost. And then the manager of the store was trying to explain to me, you know, what happened, the end times, all that stuff. And I'm just sitting there just going like, what? What's going on here? And, you know, and then I was like reading into it and I'm like, holy shit. And I actually did buy some like I bought some Age of Sigma stuff and I was like, but I just looked at it and I was like, I just don't really have any, you know, like didn't really hit me as much. And then so I just jumped on Facebook Marketplace and just started buying, you know, fourth edition high elves and everything I actually wanted to paint and stuff like that. And then now I've got a massive pile behind me, which the missus isn't too happy about, but I can't stop now, so.
Just don't tell her how much you paid for it, mate. That's the secret, you see.
Exactly, yeah. That's the secret. I reckon it's a secret to being a good hobbyist is like you got to kind of hide those, you know, things that don't matter too much. You know, as long as you can pay the bills, you're all good. So
like it misses with the shoes and makeup and, you know, clothing.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, yeah, she loves gardening and planting. You do all that stuff.
Oh, there you go. So. Best of both worlds, mate. Yeah, that's right. So but yeah, mate, that's interesting because, you know, I'm interested in, you know, like yourself, because you know you produce really good videos, very colorful, nice graphics. I thought you were a designer. Is that right? You're a designer by trade.
Yeah,
you just did that part time.
Yeah, I've done a lot of jobs, but yeah, I did. Yeah, I was a designer and then an art director for a little while.
Right.
And then I've gone kind of freelance now, art director, and I just do my own thing now. So, and I do a little bit of manual labor. I help out here and there. I did a trade after high school and stuff like that, and then but then I went to university after that because I was like, I need to be more creative and do lots of things. And I did illustration for a while as well and all those things like that. So, yeah, with the channel, it definitely probably shows. You probably see all the colour and stuff like that, wondering what the hell's going on. So,
I'm just looking at your room, mate. It's like just like a beautiful sort of purple hue, just, you know, covering all the artwork on your walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got the lights down there. I did have more artworks, but I kind of like a bit like, oh, you know, I've got like I used to sell prints and I used to do I used to do a lot of like illustration work and I had my own little website and stuff like that. And I kind of got to the point where it kind of got a bit too much. Like I was working for a lot of like I was doing a bit of work for companies, illustrating for companies and stuff like that. And I kind of lost my like passion for it because it became what they want over you know, like kind of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I was like, I just couldn't even pick up the pen anymore. I'm like, I'm just sick of this because it's something like, you know, something you love. I guess that's what I love about this hobby. It's like there's nothing, you know, it's completely mine. I can do whatever I want and kind of, you know, paint however I want to paint. I can paint the classic style, which I absolutely love and adore from what I remember when I'm younger. But yeah, that's what happened with that illustration. But it's weird. Ever since I got kind of back into doing YouTube and doing all this stuff, it's like I really enjoy drawing again. But I enjoy drawing like stuff for the channel and you know, like I, you know, love drawing rat boys and stuff like that, a few Skaven and just doing little doodles and stuff like that. So I'm slowly getting back into it. But yeah, definitely, I still do a design here and there, and I just freelance now. So live the good life.
That's it, mate. That's it. Yeah, you and me too, mate. I'm doing freelance and I love it. I hope it never runs out. Sorry, what's that, mate?
What type of freelance are you doing?
So I'm a full time miniature painter, commissioned miniature painter now. I do some teaching, you know, very rarely. It's quite scarce at the moment. Sometimes I pop up and I do some English teaching here. But yeah, mainly my main income is through you know, commission painting. And then I do, you know, obviously make my videos and podcasts and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that keeps me very busy.
I've got to say, I love your miniatures. So I've seen the odd video of yours, the kind of like your army showcases and stuff like that. And they're like spot on. That's exactly. Man. I think you paint like me, where you want the best, like each miniature to be the best they possibly can. Well, that's the way I feel. I'm very slow with my army building, and like I haven't even got a complete army yet because I'm still painting massive amounts of things to the best of my ability. Because I feel like each one of these miniatures deserves an eyeball. That's at least what they get from me.
Yeah. So. Well, you're very generous. I don't paint eyeballs on my guys, apart from the characters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, they still look great. So I think I saw your Skaven army, and that was like, oh, you know, beautiful. So
Yeah, no, thanks, mate. That's landed in America now with its new owner. So James is very, very happy. He showed me some pictures of it now that he's unboxed it and everything. So I'm really glad it made it there with him, and he's happy. He's so excited about, fielding his Skaven up, like his first Warhammer army. He's never had an army before. So
Oh hell yeah, he's lucky. He's got one of the boys.
yeah.
Hey, it looks beautiful. Like even the
Oh,
screaming
thanks,
bells. I
man.
painted a screaming bell for the
Yeah,
channel.
yeah.
Skaven are plenty of fun to paint up. So I actually got to paint up some more. I got a couple sitting here ready to go. So yeah.
I can tell you're an artist, mate, because you said you came into the hobby a couple of years ago, but boy, oh boy, you're a bloody good painter, mate. Jeez, you're knocking out those
I
paint
try.
jobs.
I think. I feel like it's kind of weird because the people go to me like, I feel like my first miniature is like was very much like everyone else's kind of first miniature. But it's weird because like I did like I mainly did digital illustration. I don't really, I do the odd canvas work like back in the day, like when I was in back when I was at uni and stuff like that. That's a few years ago now. I did a bit of painting and stuff like that, but it was mainly like pop art and stuff like that. But I just feel like I'm very lucky because I try to take as much in as I can, and I feel like there's so many good tutorials out there that it's kind of like I just when I'm looking at it and I kind of understand how the kind of the color theory works. Like that's one thing I guess I'm lucky with the background design. You kind of understand how color theory works and what kind of works well with each other and where to bring kind of tones and highlights up to. And for me, for the hobby, I guess that's where I'm kind of at now. It's like I'm more of a painter, I'd say. Like I love painting, and I think like, I see some of these classic models, especially like Chaos Dwarfs, stuff like I've really got a love for those guys now because I just the sculpts and everything about them just really sings to me. And I came into it thinking I would be painting a full High Elf army, and now I've kind of like tried to paint every single thing I can, and now I'm like in love with Chaos Dwarfs. I don't know why they really. I feel like when I'm painting them, you know what I mean? Like the colors of them and stuff like that go really well together, the blacks and the reds and whatever. But anyway, back to my point is like I am lucky that I kind of understand color theory there, but it has been trial and error. And you do, I feel like having a YouTube channel as well, it really motivates me to paint. And because I want to kind of showcase these miniatures in the best possible way the best possible way they can be seen. So, but yeah. It is, like you understand, it after a while it does become tedious and you're painting so much. And I think I'm developing a hunch now. So
That's good, mate.
yeah.
Where now your miniatures, are they in dis on display in your room? Are they in a cabinet?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. But
Of course, people have seen these on your channel at Amble.
But I've got a couple here. I got like a scar,
Ah, Skarsnik. Good on.
scar snake gobbler there. I got my flame cannon, which I
Oh, I love that.
painted, but
Yeah, that's
a
my
bit hard to
favorite
get
model, mate. You
to.
did a beautiful job on that.
It's beautiful. Yeah, that's a big, great model. And then I got obviously
Yeah.
got some chaos orbs and some. Sorry about the
Yeah.
lighting. The lighting's not too good, but yeah,
That's
it's
cool. I want people to go to your YouTube channel and check it out, or the Instagram to check out the photos of your work, because
yeah, that'd be
pretty
great.
sure most people would know about Anvil of Doom miniatures, but then it sort of just popped up on my feed one day, and of course the name struck me straight away, like Anvil of Doom. Like I'm a massive dwarf fan, yeah. I was like, oh, cool, I'll check that out. And
That's
then,
a thing. Sorry, go on.
no, sorry, I was going to say, yeah, I was very curious to what it was. I saw obviously imagery of, like the old Hero Hammer models, and then I saw you painting them, and I thought, oh, that's great. That's it just came by chance. I didn't know you from anywhere else. It was just came up on my feed on YouTube one day, and so I was lucky to discover you. And then I saw how successful your videos were and your channel was growing, and I thought, well, that's really good to see that, such a niche thing has become really, really popular. But I think it's to do with not only your painting videos, but your style. You have that sort of graphical presence in the logos and the backgrounds and in the way you present the videos and that kind of thing, which is kind of your own thing, which is really nice. So.
It's kind of like I feel like there was a bit of a gap, when I came into it. There's like the gap, like there's obviously a lot of Warhammer Fantasy Old World type of channels out there, but when I started the channel about a year ago, but it was like I feel like there was nothing that you get like a lot of other channels that are kind of bigger and they put a lot of production, a lot of production into their things. I felt like Warhammer Fantasy didn't have that. It didn't have like it did have like a lot of channels, but it didn't have like the kind of the broader appeal, I guess, to like, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? Like the like, yeah, I know that's what I kind of made the channel for. I wanted it to be like I was sitting there going like, oh, I want something a bit more poppy, or do you know what I mean? Like a bit more like energy to it. And yeah, so I was just like, my missus actually made me do it. She's like, just do it, you know, just get a camera, do
Right.
it, like just go for it. And I didn't have a camera. I didn't really know how to use like I didn't know how to use Premiere Pro, but that was basically about it. But you know, like from there, it's kind of like got a bit, the production quality's got a bit better since I first started, and you know, sound and stuff like that. But it's yeah, like she told me, you know, get a camera and just start filming. And I was like, I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna do this. And then she was just like, just get the camera, film something, and then see how you feel. And then I just started going from there. And then yeah, like I put a video up, and I just yeah, started doing a few more little videos, and people just started like, you know, getting like have a bit of positivity to it, and they were happy. And the main thing about the channel is like being like, I suppose for me is just like having a kind of like a good vibe to it, like kind of like a nostalgic vibe to it, where you know you watch it and you kind of it's there's no drama, there's nothing, it's just literally painting old metal minis to the best of the ability. And I guess because I missed out on that when I was a kid, mum and dad didn't have as much money when I was a kid, so I never kind of got the miniatures that I wanted or anything like that. So I'm getting them all now, you know, I'm like 30, over 30, and I'm buying them all now. So you know, and it's kind of giving people like, so when people look at it, they go, oh, I remember that. And they, I remember that miniature, you know, like, oh, I remember that. And it's like, I painted the flame cannon, and people just like, this is my favorite miniature. This is like, you know, this is the greatest. And someone actually, a really nice person gifted that to me because they wanted to see it painted on the channel. So it's just, yeah, just, and I could never find, like, for me, it's getting, I suppose you know this as well, it's getting harder and harder. The prices are, they're going up and up and up. So it's nice that people are doing that, and they want to see their models like, you know, painted and stuff like that. So yeah, it's that's what the kind of channel I guess is about. It's about good times, take it easy, you know, take a lot of just watch some good classic minis get painted. So yeah,
Yeah,
so
mate, I
yeah,
think.
it's been lots of fun. So yeah.
No, I think it's definitely a niche. I think you really, like I said, you present it really well. I think people really, have enjoyed the stuff. The quality of your work and your production value has really gone up. Like, I can't really compare it to the earlier stuff. I just sort of know from your recent stuff.
Don't watch the early stuff. Don't worry about
I want to watch it, man.
that. Ah.
Did you just say you started 12 months ago?
So I started painting, well, a bit over 12 months ago now.
The channel will start at 12 months
So
ago.
the channel's about to hit 12 months. Yeah,
Really?
channel's about to hit 12
Wow.
months. Yeah. So,
Wow.
oh, what is it? What's the date? Yeah, I'm going on about 12 months now. Yeah.
Amazing. That's great. You're kicking ass then, because you got like 7,600 subs and you're averaging about 3,000, 4,000 views a video. That's great, mate.
Yeah, it's I don't know what it is. I don't know. I
You
don't know what the
found it.
secret
You
is.
found it.
I don't know. Yeah, people keep saying it to me, like, I got another mate he's got a YouTube video. He's like, hey, I'm like, I don't know, man. I think people react like they just like the maybe I don't know, maybe it's the thumbnails. I don't really know. But half the time I sit there and I'm like, why are they what? And it's like it's really weird. I did like an Avaland, painted up some Avaland arches, some old Avaland arches. I got like a Empire kit.
Yeah.
And it took me like 3 weeks. We had like a, because I'm from North Queensland in Australia, and it's like, you know, cyclone. We had cyclones and flooding, and it's kind of hard. You know this as well. Like the YouTube algorithm is a bit of a beast. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and it took me 3 weeks to paint this, and I was like, I had kind of had anxiety. I'm like, I try to produce a video a week. That's like my go-to. I've had a few weeks now, but you know, you just want to keep people kind of interested. And
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember trying to paint these guys, and I had like 10 of these Avaland art, like trying to paint them as best as I can. And there's a cyclone blowing outside, power outages, flooding. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, that's it, the channel's gone, like it's over, like it's completely over, like it's done.
The
And
end
I put the
times,
video
mate.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is it, we're done. And then I put the video out, and it did really well. I think it's my highest performing video. So,
Yeah.
you
Oh,
know,
great.
yeah, it's really good. And then I think people really love, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people love Empire. Like a lot of people out there really, they love their Empire. I get lots of messages. Like I go through Instagram, lots of messages, when are you painting Empire again? When are you doing this? When are you doing that? And it's mainly all Empire simps, I call them. So they love
Oh.
their Empire. But I love it as well. I love it. That's the thing as well. Like I guess is like probably like yourself, I love like every single army. There's something about every single army that kind of appeals to me. And I want to paint them all, like, but it's, I still do have my favorites, but yeah, it's kind of like that. So,
well, everything except Lizardmen and Dark Elves for me.
Oh, really? Yeah. I literally just.
There are reasons, Deets. There are reasons.
Okay, give me the reason. You have to let me know.
No, I'm just. It's a bit of an ongoing joke. Well, for people who don't know, I'm sure a lot of people who know who follow me on the Chrono Command, but I actually painted the original Lizardman in the studio in England in 1996 for the fifth edition box set, I bloody hated them.
Oh, really?
I love fourth edition.
Hey, that's fourth impressive, edition, right? That's impressive. That's impressive. So,
and I thought, what are these hideous looking shitheads of things? Like, they were just effing terrible. You know, I was so disheartened because I'm like, you know, I'm big into fourth edition. Fourth edition was like the best, greatest thing ever for Warhammer. And then suddenly, I got this horrible load of, you know, Lisbon, and I think it was just Lisbon, no skinks. And the other guy's got the Bretonian stuff, which are beautiful. Yeah. The Bretonians are wonderful. The cavalry, the archers, the beautiful metal character models and all that kind of stuff. They got all that. I got lumped with all this horrible Lisbon guys.
Isn't that funny that they're the first miniatures I ever laid in my eyes on, and that's what kind of got me into the hobby. Like that's my gateway. I remember like 10 skinks in a box, and I'm like, what is this? And my kid up the street's like, oh, the lizard man, that's amazing, you know. Like, and they get me hooked, and you hate them, so and you hate them.
That was kind of the end. That was kind of the end for me, you know. Like, but of course, you know, I went on to play fifth edition with my Night Goblin army. And I think one of the guys or one of his wife, I think his wife had Lizardmen. She played Lizardmen. Dark Elves I've never really enjoyed, apart from the third edition Ali Morrison ones he did, like for third edition Warhammer. They were beautiful. But the fourth edition ones I just cannot stand. Yeah, I just
– Yeah, I
– A lot of people love them. Oh, did you? You painted some?
Yeah, the next video out this weekend, which I'm doing a bit of a collab with another painter. Online is called Druki Gang, and he competed in Old Demon last year. You might have seen it. It had like an Elder Farseer, beautifully painted.
Yeah.
And he came second in the Darren Latham 90 Space Marine Painting Challenge.
Wow.
So I got him on the channel, and we kind of did a mini swap.
Nice.
So, and he loves his Dark Elf. So it's the first Dark Elf I ever painted, and it's a sixth edition Dreadlord. And he gave me dread because I never painted a Dark Elf before. And there's something about the sculpts; they're like real sharp. From I think it's around sixth edition. I could be wrong, but they got like really real sharp features, and they're like the hairs like real. It was a bit of a nightmare, and I was a bit like you know, like hesitant. I'm like, oh, should I paint this one for him? Because we had to pick a miniature and kind of paint it. And yeah, and purple as well. Like I've never really painted that much purple before. And I was a bit of, I was tearing my hair out. It was a bit of a nightmare. But it got there in the end. I'm pretty proud of it. But yeah,
oh, good, mate. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm glad you made the photo.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're making some collaborations out there with some. He's a really good painter who did that. I follow the Olden Demon stuff with great curiosity and admiration because actually the guy who won it lives in Japan here.
I've
been meaning to catch up with him to just see. I just want to see that model. Like, I'll be just amazing to look at that war dance he done. It's just incredible. Breathtaking.
Yeah, I did a war dancer as well last year. I picked the right miniature, but I didn't win. I was like, damn.
Oh, mate, it's a very, very tough bunch of painters you're up against. So I hope to do it this year. I tried to do Nagash last year. And just couldn't make it in time. So I hope to finish it off this year and submit it this year.
Oh, awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it. I really think you should, man. Like, that'd be awesome. So definitely. And it's real fun. It's a real fun competition. I feel like just the vibe for the month is like, you know, it's all old hammer and it kind of on the social media, it kind of like clogs up your feed. You just see so much of it. And it really, for me anyway, it really gets me going for that, you know, for that time of year. So I'm doing two entries this year because this year, pretty sure they're doing, you can have a sci-fi and a fantasy model. So I'm going for two. I'm going for two. And I'll show you the fantasy mini I've got here. I've got this Warhammer Quest.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah,
so that guy. Yeah, the dwarf troll.
Yeah,
site.
So I've got that one.
In shrink wrap, no less, mate. Bloody hell! How much?
Yeah, it's still
the box. Trade for that,
mate. Got it for a birthday present from Mum last year.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Mum. Bless her.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Good. She's good. So yeah. So I got that. So that's going to be for this year for the fantasy, and I'm painting a space wolf for the 40K, and I'm going to do some banners, paint some banners, paint some banners for it, and yeah, do that. So it's sitting here at my desk staring at me, but I feel like I've bit off more than I can chew lately because I'm trying to do four things at once right now. And usually I try to do everything one video at a time, but I've got a Mordheim thing I'm building right, board that I'm building right now next to me, and I've got this guy here just everything going everywhere. So
right, that's good, mate. That's excellent. You're keeping yourself busy, and that's great. It's really good to see you're so productive, and you're trying to make one video a week, which is a lot of work considering how much time goes into making something like that, apart from doing your day job. So I'm glad that the viewership is really high and you get a lot of responses. So it makes it worth for you as well that you know you're getting good response and people are enjoying your content. So that's the main thing. You gave it a shot. Thanks to your wife, you gave it a shot, and here you are, mate.
I think that's especially for me as well, because I'm kind of like new to the hobby in terms of practicing painting and stuff like that, but I still, for me, it's like when I was younger, I still have those memories of Golden Demon back in the day, and especially like there's a few pieces that kind of like sing out to me. I can still remember, and I still like love. And it's weird. It's a weird thing, is when you're 9, 10, 11, you really want to be involved in something, but you don't have the money. It's a bit of an expensive type of hobby and stuff like that. And now I get the second chance to kind of do it again. I feel like I get to do it well and do it the way I want to do it. So I'm very, very lucky like that. I'm happy because I'm learning so much new things from all these amazing painters, and I'm gonna have to pick your brain one day, because I know that you entered in a Golden Demon, didn't you? I think you won in Australia.
Yeah, I entered the first Golden Demon, won the command group with my Night Goblin command group.
So
the trophies are behind me. It's interesting because someone like when Wellington, my mate Wellington, came, oh man, you got Golden Demon trophies. I said, yeah. Like they don't really mean so much to me. It's a funny thing. Like I've thrown trophies away. Golden Demon ones, but I've thrown other ones. I just have a whole heap of them. I just chucked them out. I thought, what the hell am I gonna do with them? I'm using one as a cheese platter.
Oh my god.
That was for the
Corvus. Oh, you said it to me, I'll use it.
That was for the Corvus Belli painting competition that my friend here in Japan took my miniatures over there. Entered them in the painting competition because I couldn't go to Spain to do it. Won it, and they gave that. What they did, they gave you like a wooden plaque that was basically round, and they sort of just engraved, ITS, miniature painting winner, and they gave me some brushes, which is very nice of them. I don't think the competition was all that great, but I was really happy to get it. But I thought, what am I going to do with this thing? So I made it into a cheese platter. So I cut my cheese and crackers and everything on it.
There you go. At least you get a use out of it. You know what I mean?
I mean, these things behind me, I can appreciate them now more, but at the time I was like, what am I going to do with these things? They're just a pain in the ass. They just get in the way. You know what I mean? So I'd much rather win the sword, and the sword is kind of like the holy grail, which of course now I'll never attain, because Golden Demon now is not what it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
It is something way beyond that. It's become kind of like you have to be like a Michelangelo to paint
something
so incredible,
I even because you always compare yourself to others. That's a natural thing. And like I look at photos of my miniatures, I'm sitting there looking at my miniatures, and I'm like, I'm nowhere near. And I know I've only doing it for a short amount of time, but it's like kind of like, I suppose for me, it's kind of like it never started this way, but it's always become a goal to get better and better and better and try, and then maybe one day, like kind of like a bucket list thing, just to go over to a Golden Demon or something like that and have some fun and just compete just for the sake of it. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I got no chance. So, so Yeah, but maybe I should have been born earlier. Maybe in the 90s it would have been a way better time for me. So
Yeah. Well, in Australia, it wasn't, I think the competition was not as fierce, but in the UK, France,
yeah.
Germany, you know, all those Spain, you know, they had really, really top painters there. And it was
Yeah.
just so hard to, well, I never entered overseas, but in Australia, at least you had some kind of chance, you know, there was, because even the store level, like you, they would just, you know, people would bring in the entries. And if I was the only, I think for Lord of the Rings, I got two there for Lord of the Rings because no one else entered.
Oh,
So
there you go.
it's like
Wait,
automatically
win
qualified.
by default, still a win.
Yeah,
Like,
just like went down to Sydney and there was like very little entries for Lord of the Rings, so I won gold in two of those entries for two of those years. And I think one was for like an open competition. I painted like an Inquisitor, Old Hammer Inquisitor,
yeah.
for him on a diorama base and that kind of thing. That was a cool category because that was like basically anything. You could enter anything you wanted. And I think it was like old
That's it.
miniatures only.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting category. But
Yeah.
yeah, I've had sort of ups and downs at Golden Dean because during that time I was really into doing non-metallic metals,
Yeah.
and the judge at the time just didn't like non-metallic metals. He only liked metallics, so my entries sort of got pushed down below, and I sort of gave up on.
And now it's all the
Yeah,
rage,
it's
you
all the
know?
rage
Like,
now. Yeah.
I feel like I do true metallic metals, and I feel like I'm like, oh shit, like, and they're hard to photograph true metallic metals because it just looks like a bit of a blot, like in some light. I'm like, oh, this looks great while I'm painting it, and then I'm sitting there. But yeah, it's completely changed, eh? It's completely, yeah,
Totally,
it's all about
totally changed.
non-metallic.
But
Yeah,
even at
I haven't attempted a non-metallic metal paint yet because I'm like, oh, I'll try and master true metallic metals, and then I'll move on. So.
yeah, I mean, it's good for me because I haven't really done true metallics for such a long time, but I've enjoyed doing it because all my commissions are true metallic because it's all done in the 90s style, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been nice coming back to it because what I do now is just basically do the same as what I do with non-metallic metals. I blend colors in, I put shading in and highlights and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of very similar, but obviously you have that metallic, you know,
Yeah. I think
layer.
that's a really hard thing to learn for me because I'm kind of, relatively new to it, and it was kind of understanding that. Like, for me, you see tutorials or whatever, and they're like, oh, I'll just throw in some like null oil or
Oil.
whatever, yeah, slap it on. And then I was like, why isn't it looking like, and then it took me a while to realize that it's the metallic metal is just a paint like any other bit of paint, and it's kind of glazing it and all that type of stuff. Like, just use it as another, like any other type of paint that you're going to do, and edge highlighting and stuff like that. And that's how it never really occurred to me until probably like a few months ago, and I was like, oh, that's how you do it. Like, it's real weird, it's really different. So yeah, maybe I'm a bit slow in the true metallic metal department. So
No, it's really hard. It's another challenge. And for me too, it's been really challenging because I can see people who do it really well, just beautifully, you know, with their true metallics. They can just got techniques that I just don't have yet. So it's like another learning curve. So I'm enjoying the challenge. And we're gonna talk more about your painting and more about your channel. And I'm gonna ask you a question about Lisbon when we come back. So we're gonna go for a quick ad break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk to you more, mate. If you are enjoying this podcast and the content on the Crown of Command Games YouTube channel, then please consider supporting me on Patreon. Becoming a Storm Boy allows you access to behind-the-scenes news, information on upcoming podcast guests and themes, video battle reports, and occasionally exclusive podcasts with special guests or fellow patrons. And you can also access one-to-one painting lessons in the Ebby Led Masterclass tier. So check out patreon.com/ The Crown of Command podcast. So now, mate, I'm going to ask you about a question about Lisbon. When you first cast your eyes on the Lisbon with your friend's house, you talked about when you went up the street. He had his, you know, fifth edition box set. What was your first impression of them? Were they the good guys or the bad guys?
For me, they were the good guys. In
Really?
my in my yeah, in my mind, they were the good guys. Yeah, it was real weird, eh? Like, I just it's kind of like it's he had like and he had a box of like he had so box of skinks, and then it was like a few weeks later he got the Saurus with those like sheet the shields, the copper, like the copperish looking shields that you painted up. But for me, they were like the good guys, and I just like I remember like kind of looking at even the box. I don't know. I've got like an obsession with Warhammer boxes now. Kind of like, you got yours on the wall there. Like I suppose the inner designer in me loved that as well. Like kind of like, I don't know. There was something about it that really just hit me, and it became like an obsession for a few years. And but yeah, I really did love like the Lizard Man and stuff like that. And he got like a, I think he maybe got like a Slann Mage a bit later, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And it kind of that's what really like, I suppose, like I said before, that's what kind of kick started it. And then he showed me like White Dwarf magazines and stuff like that. And I was like, I remember going to the magazine shops with dad or whatever. He'd be in car, like reading car muscle magazines, Street Machine, stuff like that. And I'd be there with him reading White Dwarf magazine next to him. So it was kind of like this real, it was a different time as well. It was very, the 90s were, and it's like, didn't have the internet. Well, the internet was in its early stages. So it was really like getting that information. And I suppose it's what made me like, I kind of like loved Mordheim as well. Like I really do like, because reading White Dwarf, they had a town crier in there and stuff like that. And it kind of built out what Mordheim is to me. And now I'm starting to get into the hobby and getting more into Mordheim now, because I remember all the town crier and stuff like that. So yeah, it's weird how it just jumped from one to the next. A little box of Lizard Men started there, and then it kind of jumped and progressed for me. If that makes any sense. So yeah.
For sure, mate. Now, I
Yeah.
know, we know you do a lot of painting videos, and you obviously that's your main passion is to paint and collect models and that kind of thing. But do you actually do any gaming?
So when I played a couple games when I was younger, and I just got to be moved. We obviously, so his mate had Empire models, and I just got to move around a unit here and there. But I haven't really played too much, and that's my kind of next goal. I played a game of Warmaster last year, and I went down to PAX down in Melbourne, kind of like a gaming convention and stuff like that, and hung out and took a look at a few different tabletop games there. They had like a real big tabletop game section, which was awesome. Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, and then but I played a game of Warmaster, and I got absolutely flogged. Like I got out, and the guy who played me, he had Skaven, and I was Orcs and Goblins, and he just like he's a seasoned Warhammer Fantasy player, and he just went so hard on me. I was just like, I didn't even, I feel like I didn't even enjoy it that much. I was just like, oh, like what? And I just, every role I had was just nothing, like not void, void, void. I'm like, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? So yeah, so it's, and I, but the thing is, I do love watching a good battle report. I watched your High Elf one, High Elf and Dark Elf one, the other week, and it was great, So I'm keen to get involved in that side of the hobby. I love lore, like I love the lore sort of things as well. Like I love my lore and stuff like that. I've been really getting involved in that. And so yeah, for me, and that's what I like about the hobby as well, I guess. There's like so much to it. It's like so like I suppose the end game for me is playing some more games and stuff like that. I do live in a bit of a rural area, and there's a lot of 40K around me. I went to my local hobby shop. I got to drive into town for that. And I'm like, is there anyone playing Old World or anything like that right now? And he's like, oh, not really. And I'm like, oh shit. He's like, do you got Kill Team? And I'm like, no, I'm good. So yeah, so that's kind of like the end game. And I still haven't finished painting my army, but I've got so many. I could probably paint, like I've got that many miniatures. I could probably do it. I've got a Skaven army. I could probably paint right now. I've got that many miniatures of Skaven miniatures and High Elves and stuff like that. So I'm slowly getting there. But yeah, the gaming side of the table side, and I suppose for me as well, the competitiveness, I get too competitive, and I get real like, so I've got to kind of calm it down. So I've got to, by the time I do play a proper game, I'm going to be like kind of ready to go. So
Well,
yeah.
firstly, it's sad to hear about your first experience playing Warmaster.
Yeah.
Was there any laughter from the Skaven player, or was he just like,
No, he was going hard. He was like, just, yeah, he was like, it was real funny because he's just, I had one of the guys who was kind of like, I had the two of the War Masters kind of set up, and he was like just going back and forth. He's just like looking at it and nodding his head, like, or he just, but it was funny. Like I look back, I look back and I laugh, and I'm like, man. And I got told by Wizards and Whiskey, he's on Instagram as well.
Ben, yeah, he's a good guy,
Yeah,
Ben.
Ben, I chat to Ben, and he told me, he's like, man, that's typical Skaven players. Like he's like, they go hard, and I'm like, yeah, typical Skaven players. So.
Okay, as my good friend Kent Fury in Australia would say, you should have said to this guy, mate, don't be a dick. Except, mate, mate, don't be a dick. This is my first game. Come on, have a bit of a laugh. Let's eat some let's eat some cheese rings and drink some cola and just have a good
time.
He
was having fun though. He was having fun though.
I'm telling you.
He was having fun.
Running off the table. Yeah. But
it was having fun, so
it's sad because I think the emphasis for anybody who's coming to the table for the first time is to not do that, not table someone. Yeah. But to encourage them and say, hey, you know, that's great. You want to try it? Look, you know, let's go through some basic mechanics, or let me show you what your army can do, or, you know, have a bit of a jovial kind of presence about it. It's almost like, you know, being in the 90s when we worked at Games Workshop, that feeling when someone walked in for the first time, they saw this nicely decorated table with miniatures and terrain, and we would immerse them in the game slowly.
Yeah. Yeah,
but with, you know, making sounds. Okay, the archers will, you know, release their the arrows into the air, they fly down. Oh, they kill three orcs, you know, and that kind of thing. Making, I think some people are very good at doing that, and some people are horrible at doing that.
Yeah, I think I got unlucky.
I think so.
But it's okay. Like for me, and I suppose that's where like even my channel and stuff like that. Like I'm trying to, like my hobby. Like I'm. Like I love the hobby so much, and it's kind of like I'm still new. Like I still feel like I'm kind of new to it, but I've kind of come into a setting which is like for seasoned, you know, very seasoned hobbyists. Like I've kind of stepped into a realm of people who are kind of, you know, they've been here for years, like, you know, 20 plus years, like yourself, you know,
the grognards, man, grognards.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always going to be harder for someone like me to kind of step in and be like, hey, you know, like, but. But that's what I love about it as well, because like everyone I've talked to is like so inviting, and like, you know, they want it's kind of when it's a passion, you know, you both love something, it doesn't matter. So it's good like that in a way as well. So
when you come to Japan next with your wife, I'll give you the best game of Warhammer Fantasy Battle you've ever had, mate.
Let's do it. What armies do you have there?
I've got your high elves here, mate. High elves.
Yeah, you do actually. Yeah. Okay. Done. Yeah. I'm trying to build this Chaos Dwarf army, and man, they're so hard to get your hands on. You know, like they're just crazy. I've got a few good units, but yeah, they're like it's I don't know, it's weird. Like I find high elves really annoying to paint. I don't know if you like just the white, and you know, there's so much true metallic metals, the white and the blue, it's very easy to make them not look good in a way, you know, like it can be that's why I think I've kind of like teetered towards Chaos Dwarf. So I'll have to bring some Chaos Dwarfs over. Maybe I'll put that in the bag or something.
Right now I've got to do a studio update, but my good friend Gordon, one of my patrons, he's sent me an entire Chaos Dwarf army to paint for him as a commission. Awesome. So that'll be the first time I've ever done it. I've never painted a Chaos Dwarf army before, or very little. I've painted a couple of test models for myself that someone, my friend Matthias, another patron, sent me to paint. Yeah. And I painted those as just like kind of test models. And really nice models. I got the army book now, which is apparently worth an absolute fortune on eBay. Yep. You can believe the prices. Yep. It's just crazy now. But mate, there are means and ways. So I will get in contact with you, good sir, and we will find that Chaos Dwarf army for you, no problem. Okay.
I'm after hobgoblins, so there's gonna be hobgoblins, right? They're sneaky and tricky to find, so that'd be great. So thanks so much for that. Yeah,
there's also really, you know, I mean, 3D printing is obviously a beast. Yeah. That's in the room, or the elephant in the room, I should say. But, you know, Brawniak, a good mate of mine in Norway that I have good conversations every time in our Discord and that kind of thing about his sculpting. He shows him designing miniatures, and, you know, he's having great time designing these beautiful looking models. And Faberzell is another guy who does some really good stuff as well. So
I've seen some really good proxies that, like, the aesthetic for them just kind of matches up, you know, with like that. Like fourth edition one really well. I've seen like just a bunch of people, and I feel like that's exploding right now too. You know, obviously 3D printing is bloody crazy. So there's some really good stuff out there too. I tried to sculpt something, but man, I was useless. So you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, that'd be really hard to do, mate. But yeah, that's good that you're trying to sculpt. That's excellent. So yeah, don't give up on it. Just keep you know, chipping away at it. And that's another great skill to put, you know, into your, you know, either disassembly, modifying, converting process, you know. So that's
Yeah,
excellent.
definitely. Definitely, yeah. No, it's a bit of a different beast sculpting, so yeah.
Absolutely. I've tried my hand at it, and yeah, it just didn't, well, I just didn't give it the time. I think for any kind of skill like that, you really need to be very enthusiastic or driven to do it. And I just don't feel that I was very driven or enthusiastic about doing it.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think yes, it suits certain people. I'm just more comfortable with painting. Learning a new skill set is just not my, I'm getting too old, mate. That's why. I think that's why.
Mate, no, you're young, you're fine.
But
You're doing well.
I watch Brawniak do his digital sculpting, and he said, "Oh, you should try. You know, it's really fun." And looking at him doing it, yeah, it seems kind of easy. You're sort of just pulling, you're pulling, you're basically just pulling polygons around on a screen. But you know, it's not that simple. Obviously, he's, you know, very talented. He can do it very well. And if you see me painting or yourself painting, well, that looks easy. But when you actually do it, it's not as easy. So
It's like everything's a skill. Like even like I feel like, people assume they can do a lot of things, and it's much harder. And everything, like you said, everything takes time and skill. It's like the same. You're never going to jump into something. That's what I guess the hobby is like, that you're never going to jump into something just thinking you're going to be able to do it the first time. And it's like, I think it's our willingness to learn and listen to other people and really just take your time and kind of just sit in it. So yeah, it's a bit of a beast, that stuff. But even doing the digital, like you were saying, digital sculpting, I don't know if I got too much, like I don't know. I don't know if I'd be have the patience for that as well. I'd be a bit like, so I tried sculpting with like just what is it? I tried to do a little Chaos Dwarf, and I was like, oh sweet. I tried to make him in 28 mil scale, and it just blew out, like everything blew. He just got so big. But as I was going, I'm like, no. Nah. So now it has to be a statue or something for the army. I'll make him a statue or something like
Yeah, you can make
that.
Hashut. I think it's the deity for the
Yeah, sure.
Chaos Dwarves. You can do that
Praise
for
the
a
shirt.
terrain piece or something like that. But yeah, it's like you say, it's the hobby's very multifaceted, and people who enter the hobby for different reasons. Could be the lore, could be the miniature painting, could be the terrain making, gaming, list building, you know, whatever. It could be when it, you know, there's so many different aspects to it. And I think that's what keeps us in the game for so long. As opposed to like board games where you're sort of just pulling one board game out, next one out, next one out. It's sort of like a rotation thing. And you're
Did you
always
ever
looking.
have some time where you kind of like ducked in and out, or?
Not really. I sort of always was, well, until a time when I sort of got more into p like PlayStation games and that kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, they get you. They kind of pull you away for a while. I know.
Yeah.
I play a lot of video games, and I still do, but I get
It was
kind of
that
sucked in for a few
it was
weeks.
that Zat and the Wacky Backy bait, I think, that got me hooked on that for a while.
Oh yeah, I don't mind that. So that's a bit of a that I know, because that's a bit of the wacky tobacco's a bit of a demotivator. It does get you there. I know, I'm like, oh, should I paint? But then I actually painted some models, but like, I tried to paint some models like that, and I'm like, nah, I spent way too long on the face. So yeah, it gets you.
I got obsessed with playing, I think it was FIFA World Cup 1996 or whatever it was. I can't remember, 1992 or whatever it was. And then Pro Evolution Soccer, and I just got hooked on those. I just played those religiously, like just continuously, season after season. So yeah, and then I got out of that. I still did a bit of dabbling and painting. We had a, like a hobby room set up, and by that time though, I was out of Games Workshop. I was pretty much out of it altogether. And then I sort of had a bit of a lull, and then until I found Rackham, the French company that brought out these amazing miniatures, and the painting style was so different, and I got right back into it again. So yeah, I had a
That's
bit of a
awesome,
dip and then got straight back into it again. I've sort of never left it ever since, you know.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's like I feel like I get like I'm kind of like even my missus, she's like to me, you've been like, for a few years now, you've been really into this. Like, you're gonna like, is it gonna? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's like every day I'm kind of finding something. You're finding something new to do, or you're finding, a new project. That's why I'm doing more time now. Now I'm obsessed with more time. All of a sudden, I'm like trying to build some buildings, and I bought like a the old box set of it, and I'm like getting into that because I want kind of set that up, put that on the kitchen table and invite some mates over and have some games. So now I'm kind of hooked on that. It's real weird, isn't it? You kind of always got something to, wish for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'd go nuts without having a hobby. I think maybe you're the same. Yeah. I've got to have my hands busy. Got to do something, otherwise I would just go nuts. If someone sat me in front of a TV all day, I'd go crazy, mate. I'd go senile.
Yeah, same. I've got to build something. There's always got to be something that's, you know, there's always got to be a project that's I got to finish and then kind of move on to the next one. I'm like that. I'm very much like that too. So I can play, you know, I can play video games and play. I've been playing. I played a little bit of Baldur's Gate recently. You know, it's kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, it's like. So, you know, a bit of that, but then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, like I feel like I'm wasting time and I'm wasting, you know, energy. And I'm like, no, I need to direct it towards something that gives me a bit of joy, a bit of pride and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely.
Yep. That's where the hobby, I think the hobby for me wins out every time because, you know, after all that time, you've got something to produce, you produce something and it's a work in progress or you complete something. You think, wow, that was great because that was 100 hours well worth spent. So
yeah,
video games just get sucked into some kind of mega chip and this is gone. Yeah. It's in your memory. It's not a physical thing. And
it is good playing with mates, you know, video games you play with mates.
Oh yeah.
That's like a party, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's good to have your own time just to do your own thing. So yeah.
Yeah. No, there's some really good video games that I get really sucked in and immersed into and I love them. And I think they're just you know, created by creative geniuses out there. So I really like those. Yeah. But anyhow, mate, look, I think behind you I can see a White Dwarf magazine. And is that your first White Dwarf magazine?
No, that's I got that actually sent to me. It's issue 151. Right. It's got the squats on it.
Yeah.
I actually got that sent to me by a really, really, really nice guy, gentleman. He was into the hobby and then he was like, oh, kind of in and out, and he's like, I was into it back in the day, and he's like, he sent me it, and it's got like, you know, the old games day and stuff in it. It's kind of like I really do like, for me as well, it's like the art of, you know, the Warhammer art and stuff like that as well. Even you know, your fifth edition box set on the wall there, like that's kind of like the time when I was looking into Warhammer as well, and that kind of got me the artworks as well. So I really do love I love the art of Warhammer, and it's another thing, you know, coming back into the hobby in recent years and then opening up a recent White Dwarf, and I'm like, what is this trash? Like, this is what I remember. You know, no offense to anyone who
I know what you mean.
But it doesn't have the same, it just didn't have the same appeal to me. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, it had, like, all the art and, you know, like, all the greatest artists and, like, you know, John Blanche, all that, you know, like, that's what's kind of, like, I guess, the aesthetic of that. So I do, I think I'm at risk right now of starting to collect in White Dwarf magazines. All of a sudden, I've got this, like, bit of urge. I'm like, oh, man, I'm on eBay looking, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting that copy and that and that. So I'm running the risk of getting another expensive habit.
Keep it secret from the wife, mate. To keep it a secret, put it in the back.
Yeah,
around,
I gotta find a place to put it. Very much. Like, what's that? You're like, nothing, nothing.
Someone gave it to me. Some guy in the street gave them to me. You know,
she probably think they're all bloody Playboys or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
it's definitely the art. Like, that art gets me too. You know, so all that type of stuff as well. So I got that there, and it's kind of like my pride and joy hanging up there.
Yeah.
So,
mate.
Yeah.
It's a classic piece of artwork. There's Dave Gallagher, mate. It's classic stuff.
Yeah, Dave Gallagher. Yeah. It's a bit. So yeah, it's I like, and that's the thing as well. Being an illustrator, I guess that's kind of like where I'm at too. Like, I love that. Like, I love like the Warhammer aesthetic and like how silly it was, and even like I guess. All the codex cover arts and stuff like that are kind of like real. They get me really involved as well. So I love all that side of it. The art of Warhammer as well is kind of like another whole area in itself, which is just, you know, you could kind of dive into as well. So, and I see, like, yesterday I saw, I don't know if it was real, but someone put up a post on Instagram, and it was the original Eldar Codex, you know, I think it was like second edition, and it was like selling, the original artwork was selling for like $100,000, like the original.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I was like, Jeff Taylor's. I was like, man, it's happening now, isn't it? It's all changing now. So
That's good. Good for them, because they're looking to
awesome.
retire, or they haven't retired already. They can cash it in now, mate. So good on them.
It just goes to show value, you know, how much the hobby's valued and how much it's appreciated as well. So
I think
so I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I was like, here we go.
I think Andy Smith has been a big contributor to that. He's the old hammer art page on Instagram and on YouTube. I interviewed him during COVID. He's a really, really nice guy, but he does that out of charity. Like he doesn't take any commissions. He just basically takes the art from the artist and he finds a buy and he sells it, getting the best price for the artist. He does a great job with doing that. I need to get him back on the show at some point because he's a really interesting
Definitely.
guy.
Good on him. That's amazing, eh? Good on
It's
him. That's like,
amazing. It's amazing. I mean, they sell for like, I think he said on Facebook how much he's sold, and it's like a staggering amount of money that
gee.
he's made for other people, which is really generously done out of his own heart because he loves all this stuff. He loves the old hammer art, you know.
I seen like another channel, Film Deg Miniatures, and he's got because he's mates with like John Blanche, and he's got some, you know, some and I'm like, oh boy, those got they'll definitely be worth something one day. Like even like now, they're worth something because it's changing. You know what I mean? It's all like, I guess as time goes by and more people kind of it's really weird, eh? It's like it's kind of like exploded, like it's exploded in a way, but then it's a lot. I think a lot of people have kind of like myself. Have come back, and even on my channel, I look at people coming back to the hobby. They're like, I get messages from people all the time saying, I'm like you know, I left when I was a kid, I was into it, and then now I'm getting back into it. And when I came back, there was no Warhammer Fantasy, but obviously the old world's out now. So, and I feel like it's like now people are back and they got money, and you know what I mean? We're adults now, we're getting a bit older, we've got some money, we've got jobs, and then we're like, oh, yeah, I might buy a bit of like, you know, a bit of John Blanche art, I might buy a bit of splurge on that. So, hang it up in the office. So, why not?
Nice, mate. Yeah. I wish I could do the same. I just need to be not married. I think that's what it is.
Oh yeah, tell me that. I've made the dream. I love her. I love her. She'll probably watch
I
this.
know, I
Get
know.
angry.
There's lucky bachelors
Talking
out
about
there with
crap.
all that money they can spend on all this stuff. But mate, like you mentioned your YouTube channel, and I think people should know about it. If they don't know about it, it's Anvil of Doom Miniatures. Please go and check it out. I'll leave a link in the show notes here for the podcast in the description. So just go down there, scroll down there, click on that, and it'll take you to Deet's YouTube channel. And I'll leave one in there for Instagram too, so people can check out the finished painted products because they're wonderful to see. And
Awesome,
people
man.
go and check it out. But look, mate, thank you so much for your time. I know it's a day off for you today, and I know you're doing some hobby, so I don't want to take that time.
No, it's good talking hobby, even on the day off, mate. So, you know, it's a pleasure. And I love your work as well, and I love what you do too. So,
Thanks, mate. Yeah, no, likewise. I think you're doing a fantastic job with what you're doing, and long may it continue. So I think you've got the support, you've got people who really love what you're doing, and that'll just drive you forward to collect more miniatures, and hopefully, you know, your revenue from YouTube will allow you to buy more stuff because the price is going up. And
Yeah, you can
but
get those views, so get
yeah,
more views.
exactly. So help Deets out with a like and a sub, and to watch his videos because they're really, really cool to watch, and watch him paint those classic iconic miniatures from the 90s.
Thanks so
Okay.
much.
Well, thank you so much again. I'll get in touch with you, mate, about your Chaos Dwarves, and let's see if we can help
Oh,
you out
definitely.
with a
That'd be
few more.
awesome. Thanks so much for that. Yeah, awesome.
No
Sounds
problem,
good.
mate.
All
Okay, well, you
right.
take care and enjoy the rest of your hobby day.
You too, man. Take it easy. Thanks, Josh.
Okay, thanks, mate.